So this morning, our readings this morning, we see in that second reading that Jesus attracted people to himself, didn't he? He was up a mountain with his closest friends, and then he came down, and it says he came down and stood on a level place, and a large crowd of people came and gathered round him. And it says here, they came to hear him, to be healed of their diseases and troubled spirits. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him. I wonder what that must have looked like. There's another story about a lady that had been suffering for many years, 12 years in fact, and she just had to fight through this crowd without trying to be noticed, and because she had been bleeding for a long time, and she reached to touch his coat, and Jesus felt the power go from him, and she was healed. And she was in a vulnerable place. But here we hear that everybody's reaching out to try and touch Jesus. It was probably a bit of a rugby scrum. Everyone trying to touch the Lord, and what they expected, what they experienced. It must have been quite an interesting time. I used to work in the data communications industry. So I was an electrician, and then I went to work for British Telecom. a number of years ago, and I was introduced to equipment. Has anyone worked in communications? Alan probably understands all of this stuff, but I was introduced to a thing called a repeater. Now, a repeater would take a signal in and reconstitute it, I guess. So, I've done some artwork for you this morning. Please, I'm not going to sell it afterwards, because it's not that good, really. But, in this modern age, does everybody recognise that kind of signal? So, this is a 1, and this is a 0, and this is basically what data communications is made up of, 1s and 0s. Pretty much everything is 1s and 0s these days in your telephones. You won't know it, but it uses 1s and 0s to send signals. Now, back in the day, as a signal went down the line, down the telephone wire or the communications wire, that signal would get degraded. And it would probably end up looking something like that. So it would no longer be that lovely square signal. It would just get degraded over time and distance and become this little signal like that. But the thing the repeater did, it would take that little signal, and as long as you had the start point, it could reconstitute it to become that again. Because it knew that if it started there, that and it started to go up even a little bit, it would become a 1 again. Telecommunications theory, this is 101. You're all expert. Go get a job at BT now. That's the end of my art for this day. Anyway, now, I once preached a message on this thought. And the thought was that as Christians, we had to make sure we kept going back to the author and the source of our faith. And if we left it too long, that signal, that relationship with God became so degraded that if we left it too long and it became a straight line, it was really difficult. So the point was that we had to try and connect with God as often as we could, like every day. And that, the principle of that is okay. But I've come to view things slightly differently. Most of us will know the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus came to their house to visit, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Martha was in the kitchen, and Martha got frustrated because Mary wasn't helping, and she should have been helping. I'm a bit of a Martha, I'll be honest. I'd probably moan in at Mary, come on, help me out. Get on, don't sit there. And Jesus said, Mary's chosen what is better. Mary's chosen to sit at my feet and listen to me and to connect with me. But this is where we go back to my signal. Clearly, Mary couldn't sit at his feet forever. She had to get up and do something, right? They had to move on. They had to go and do stuff. They had to prepare food at some point. Although some aspects of what I've just told you are still relevant, we don't need a top-up in our relationship with God. We need to be continually connected to Him. Continually in touch with Jesus. Rooted to Him in a relationship with Him. In that scripture that Andrew read, it talked about a tree planted by a stream. Because it was rooted and deep, the roots went down deep. Even in times of drought, that tree still had green leaves. So a great scripture. You can read that again in there. And the psalm I read also. That scripture gives us that wonderful illustration of what life can look like when it's centered in the right place. I'll try and describe this in a little bit more detail. Maybe I won't do it justice, but I'm going to give it a go. Army chaplaincy, which is what I am now, is what we call in the chaplaincy department an incarnational ministry. I don't know if I've said that to you before, but it's an incarnational ministry. And what I mean by that is that as chaplains, we immerse ourselves into the regiments we serve. And their unique individual cultures. And we become, in effect, Jesus to that culture. Now, there are so many different cultures within the army. I've only been in a short time. But, you know, you've got signals regiments. You've got artillery regiments. Infantry, engineers, tankies. They have different names for the same thing. They'll have batteries, squadrons, companies, platoons. I was so confused when I joined the army. Is that a platoon or is that a company? I don't know. You know, but you get to know these things over time. When we're a chaplain, we don't lose our uniqueness. We don't lose our individual identity, but we immerse ourselves in the culture of the people we serve. We don't lose our values or our faith or our identity. Let me put it another way. We should regard Christ in this way. He took human form. God incarnate in the body of Christ. Jesus was God incarnated into human flesh. I think I've learned some important lessons, and I'm not trying to influence my service personnel to my way of thinking, even though my heart is desperate for them to know the hope that comes with knowing Jesus. I'm not trying to convert them. My goal isn't to get them to behave differently. Though sometimes it breaks my heart when I see them going down self-destructive paths, which young people do. I've got 3 children. I know what they do. I think I know what they do anyway. Perhaps they didn't tell me everything. But I know that these things are often going to cause them pain. I don't try and stop them swearing. I don't try and change the way they behave. It's such, to me, this is a change of mindset for me. When I was a pastor, my whole purpose was to share the gospel. And it still is. And to influence people and to try and get them to become what I felt the church should look like. But actually, my job now is wonderful. I don't have to try and do any of that. All that is required of me is to love my troops, to love my soldiers, and reflect, hopefully reflect Jesus to them, and let God do the rest. And in so doing, in doing what I do, maybe, just maybe, I'll go on to lead one or two of them to a relationship with Christ. But regardless of that, what I will keep doing is sowing seeds in each and every and any opportunity that I get. It does take the pressure away from being a pastor when you've got goals and programs and you've got to do this, to suddenly, actually, I just need to love my people. But those seeds I will keep sowing in their lives are seeds of hope, seeds of love, seeds of forgiveness, of reconciliation. These things aren't being talked about very much in the army. Hope. My soldiers desperately need hope, as does every single person on this planet. Hope for the future. These are wonderful gifts of a relationship with Jesus that can be had by every single person. Have you ever had a conversation with someone where either they are on send the whole time to you? You can be with them for an hour and not make a connection. Either because they just talk about themselves all the time, or they ask you a question and then immediately switch the conversation back to themselves. I think we all probably know people like that, you know. And they never ask you about yourself. You never get to find anything to put a part of yourself into them. And actually you don't really make a connection between yourself and that person. Not on a deeper or an emotional level. The connection that I'm talking about is, I would call it an indwelling with someone, and I'm going to explain that a little bit, where we do make a connection with somebody at a deeper level, and we would call it sharing in another person, and someone's sharing in someone's person. We are who we are because of our relationships. Think about that. You're who you are because of the relationships you have in your life, that you've had in the past, that you will have in the future. Clearly, we have relationships, but we retain our own distinct individual beings. Unique, singular bodies, urges, thoughts, reflexes, and brains. But our brains are wired to be drawn into the lives of others, to share, to indwell. To indwell is a deeply spiritual reality. It has its heart at the very incarnation and ascension, the sending of God's Holy Spirit to us. Some would say to me, Robbie, I like my own company, or I'm an introvert. I totally understand that. Of course, we're all different. Introvert, extrovert. I recognise that some people have loads of connections with other people and some people have just a few. But there is, in this country, and maybe exacerbated by COVID, an epidemic of loneliness. Epidemic of loneliness. People that never see another human being until they go to the shop. And it's very quick, and it might be just the cashier. And then they go home and don't see anybody else. Everybody needs somebody with skin on to hug, to touch. Touch, by the way, is incredibly important. Did you know that when two people who are in love hold hands, this is amazing, when they hold hands, their heart rates synchronize? That's incredible. I don't know how long it takes, might be 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, but when you hold the hand of somebody you love, your heart rate synchronizes with with theirs. It's scientific. It's incredible. But that's another subject for another time. Connection is, it's important that we don't connect with other people in order to manipulate them, to influence their interest. And it's a lesson that I have learned. To influence them to our way of living, or thinking, or believing, but to share in another's place, to indwell through relationship with somebody else, even for a short time. We all know that relationships aren't necessarily forever. Some are. I've got a friend, I think I've told you about it before, a friend called Nigel. We worked together for 20 years in youth work in the church. Every Friday night did youth work. I don't see Nigel very often, but I spoke to him this week for an hour. I've not seen him for 2 months, but we're still connected. You know, we've all probably got friends like that where it's just like you. It doesn't matter that you've not seen them for 2 months, they're still your close friend. It doesn't matter. To indwell is to participate in something that's not just us. To share something that so deeply that what is not us becomes part of us. In the 80s there was a big advertising campaign that said, "You are what you eat." Remember that? "You are what you eat." I can't believe it was in the 80s. The fact that I can remember it, it's nearly 40 years ago. But I remember that. I was only very young. No, not that young, but I was quite young in the 80s. In another way, we could be described as we are what indwells us, or who indwells us, at the social and the spiritual level as well, which is what it is to be human. The core or the crux of what I'm saying is this. When we become friends, we indwell each other. Your life becomes part of mine, and mine becomes part of yours. Think about it like this. That's why we can be greatly affected in ourselves to hear that my friend is sick, or in pain, or worse. Because we indwell one another. If you don't have that connection with somebody, you don't feel it. But when you do, you feel it in yourselves when your friend is in trouble. I think that's probably the best example. A parent with a child. A parent feels their child's pain. Child feels a parent's pain. It's not their pain, but they feel it. Because they're connected. Their lives are entwined with one another. And it's about opening our being to being touched and even transformed by what is not me, what is not you, and giving yourself to another in relationship. And I think we give a word to this unique spiritual indwelling that happens at the social level. We call it love. Parents with children. In love, we see the heartbreak in another. We offer an embrace. We share the pain. We indwell their experience. At a romantic level, when people have indwelt one another at a relational level, sharing in each other's place, they then take a natural step and indwell each other physically. There is no more intimate sharing of our lives with another person. Jesus explained this whole example of indwelling amazingly when he stated, "Abide in me as I abide in you." A mutual indwelling. The Apostle Paul understood it as the heart of the gospel, which is why he wrote, "And these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Because love indwells, love shares completely in others. Jesus shares in our life, and we are invited to share in him. This is why taking communion is so significant and important. It is symbolic of us sharing in the body and blood of Christ. Symbolic of us participating in and consuming Him. Symbolic of His person dwelling fully within us. When we have Christ at the centre of our lives, we establish deep roots in Him, just like the tree by the stream, which stays fresh and green, even in the drought, in good times and bad. When you love Christ, He becomes the source of your life, the bedrock on which we can stand, even when everything else may feel like it's falling apart. We can turn to Him. Jesus took it even further when He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," meaning Jesus was saying, it's my roots that sink into the ground, my roots, and you connect into me because my roots go deep. What a great illustration. But to be in a relationship with Him, we need to acknowledge that He is Lord, and that forgiveness of sins comes only by confessing our sins and turning away from our old lives and towards Him. Profound but really simple. And there's not one single person who does that He will turn away. What a wonderful message. Free grace. Free for any single person who will submit to Christ and say, "Come in, take control, dwell within me. I need to change my life." 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive Robbie Boyle from all his sins and all his unrighteousness. Nobody is beyond God's redemption. That's just the amazing message of the gospel. I had a conversation with a soldier. He was rather drunk 6 months ago, maybe a bit more. But I might have told you before, forgive me if I have. We were in a end of exercise somewhere and they'd gone out, finished work, gone out in another country and went to a bar. And I turned up a bit later, didn't want to go, it was a bit late, and I thought, no, I'm just going to go to bed. I thought, no, you really got to go. And I went and I had a conversation with this young man. We'd had a previous conversation. He said, "Padre, I'm beyond redemption, aren't I?" I said, "Yeah." And he was a bit shocked. I said, "Yeah." He looked a bit shocked at me, actually. I said, "Of course you're not beyond redemption." Anyway, a few days later, outside this bar, we went outside, there was a few of these lads around, poured his life story out to me, his failings, where he'd messed up. And I just shared with him, "You are not beyond redemption. You know the story." He'd grown up in a Christian family, gone way away from him, prayed with him, tears streaming down his face. Amazing. Nobody's beyond redemption. I know I joked with him that he was, but that got a reaction which was amazing. These are moments I live for in my job. But that's so true for every one of us. Nobody, I just can't stress that, is beyond God's redemption this morning. Amen.